Father, thank you for another night here in Grand Forks, Lord, and in your word, and just thank you for worship and what you speak in worship, Lord, as we sing and all that you have in there for us tonight. And Lord, as we come to communion at the end of tonight, to remember you and this chapter where everything kind of went downhill, Lord, and so we get to read all about it and be encouraged by how much you love us another night. So just thank you and praise you. Amen. So Genesis chapter 3. And from last week, quick recap. As we enter into 3, we talked about the promises of what God gives us, and he gives us a glimpse of what we have to look forward to in the life to come, and the joys that we're looking forward to, that expectation of good that we hold on to. And you know, I think of Paul as he is in ministry and the sufferings he goes through, and you know, being chained and receiving 40 lashes minus one. And all that suffering he did to serve his Lord, and just how he had heaven on his mind, and how he had that joy set before him in heaven. And we get a little glimpse of it in chapter 2, and we'll notice how we don't have, you know, if you read through the Bible, you know, there's, God gives us a little bit about heaven and the glory that's to come and what he has prepared for us. And we talked about in John 14, we compared John 14 with that chapter and how he goes to prepare a place for us, and he prepared a place for man when he created. And Genesis, so we're talking about the origin and in the beginning, the origin of all these things. And tonight's title is very clever. It's sin, right? Sin, period. It's where sin came from, and where disease, and where disorders, and where all the problems we see around us. Everything comes from this chapter. And Romans 5, 12 through 13, to kind of anchor us in that title, says, Romans 5, 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. And we looked at chapter 2, where God gives the command. He gives that law to Adam, to that simple command, don't eat of that, the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And you know, playing with that too, this morning, if you guys were in Ephesians 5 with Pastor Seth, I look at this chapter, and the title he had for this morning was Grace! Exclamation point. This is how one is done, talking about Ephesians 5 and the oneness of the body, and talking about wives submitting under their husbands, and husbands loving their wives, right? All of our favorite portion. And then we're going to look in this chapter where all that got flipped. And so a lot of interesting stuff that I've learned through this, and we will get there. So tonight, grace, exclamation point, this is where it begun, you know, and we think of grace and mercy, and we're in the Old Testament where all this started, where God gives a command, you will surely die if you eat of that tree. And they did die spiritually, and then we're going to see the mercy of God when he blocks off the tree of life. And so a lot of cool stuff in this chapter. So let's get started in Genesis chapter 3. Let's read it and kind of see what comes out of this. So Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so, looking at this, I was curious. We will see that Satan, there's three places in the Bible where we can see Satan's words. And here's one of them. And then we have in Job and also in Matthew. And looking at, you know, the tactics of the enemy. I don't know if you guys have read, what's that one by Warren Wiersbe? Strategies of Satan, right? And we see what Satan does. And I want to read from Job what he says, so we can kind of see, and you can kind of detect in your life as you are serving the Lord. And he, you know, we know that Satan is wanting to destroy us, right? He wants to devour and ruin everything about us. And we have those in the world that think they're on Satan's team, right? And they're you know, the Satanic Bible and all these, they think they're part of his group. And, you know, Satan's just laughing because he hates them as much as he hates us. He wants to destroy mankind. And because he knows he's the lake of fire is waiting for him. And we see in this chapter that God crushes his head, and that he, all he has now is to destroy, is looking to just create that war, that enmity between the woman and between us, that war that we have, him trying to destroy basically others being saved, right? Hearing the gospel and being saved and going to heaven for eternity. And so he's trying to destroy all of us. And even those that are saved, you think, well, they're saved now, I can't mess with them. He wants to get in and make us as ineffective for the kingdom, and to keep us from sharing the gospel, because it's come, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, with the gospel being preached, many can be saved. And so, God's, you know, his desire is that none should perish, but all would come to repentance and have salvation. And so let's look at what Satan says to God as he comes in Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, and there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? You know, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then in chapter 2 of Job, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? As he came up to heaven. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. So you think of Satan walking to and fro on the earth. Here he is in the Garden of Eden, walking to and fro in the earth, and he gets a hold of Eve, you know, before she's called Eve. And he says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. You kind of think of this morning talking about bone and flesh, and what, you know, in Ephesians 5 where it says that. And we've been talking about, you know, the versions of the Bible, and looking at a few weeks ago in Mark 16. And we're talking about, you know, that Westcott and Hort video about, you know, what the enemy tries to do to sow, you know, taking out of God's word, taking God's deity, right? Trying to plant seeds of doubt in us, as he, you know, as those versions, you know, marked out 9 through 20, and they, you know, you're reading through that, and it says, well, in those early manuscripts, those Codex Vaticanus and Codex Sinaiticus, you know, big words, but those early manuscripts from the 4th century, you know, where, you know, the Gnostics, you know, deleting things from God's word and deleting that bone and flesh, if you look at all those versions, and it's very, very interesting as you study that out. And so we were exhorted to get back to that old path, get back to that old, you know, the old path that was from the beginning. And here we are walking through it in Genesis, this old path that we have before us of what God does, right? And it's, and that prophecy that's given in chapter 3, and taking out, trying, you know, Satan trying to attack God's, Jesus' deity, right? That he was a man with flesh and bone, right? Came and died on the cross, you know, trying to create seeds of doubt in us that, you know, it was a phantom. You know, you have those that came out of, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. We've talked about that, trying to say that he's a God and not the God, right? And making us think that there could be many gods, you know, more Mormons, you know, taking from those translations and manuscripts and trying to tell us that, that Jesus was a created being, you know, and we know, we've talked about this last couple weeks in chapter 1, the origin of Jesus, Elohim. I'll say it again, that Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, it's, building our foundation, right? Kid, we, you know, talking to the kids, a lot of kids in here, that you have that foundation that Jesus, right, is God. And, just want to really press that into you, that, that the world with the thousands and thousands of translations out there just trying to water down, who God is, who Jesus is in that redemption plan, trying to, we'll see the seed of the woman in this chapter, you know, changing the word from seed to offspring and trying to create this idea that, you know, that attacking that he wasn't born of a virgin, right? And that, that it was Joseph and, you know, that, you know, how we learned that. I was trying to say that it was Joseph and Mary's son and that it was, you know, Jesus is from the Holy Spirit, that seed of the woman. And the woman doesn't have the seed. And we'll get there as we keep reading here. So, Lord said unto Satan, back to Job, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And then the last place where we have Satan's words is Matthew 4, when Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I'm going to read from there if you want to read along. Have your Bibles open again, right, guys? That what I'm saying is true. You guys have your the Bible and the words before you. So let's see what Satan says to Jesus. And so when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry afterward. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right? Jesus, you know, claiming to be God. You know, again, as we went through Mark, all the times that Jesus claimed to be God. And Mark 1, we went through that Mark study, you know, get back to that thought where those translations took out of that first verse in Mark chapter 1, Son of God. And, you know, Mark, right off the bat, just like John, the Gospel of John, declaring Jesus the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, right? We're, you know, that flesh and bone we had this morning too. And, Jesus, the Son of God, you know, begotten. I thought it was kind of interesting studying out begotten. Begotten is monogenes in the Greek. So just kind of hitting that inner linear concordance on your Blue Letter Bible app, you can click on that. And I've kind of always, well, begotten son. Well, I've had a son and how, you know, they're of the same, right? That mono, if you kind of, if your mind can go there where I'm going, I'm trying to explain it, but you know, the begotten Son, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, begotten, three in one, right? We, you know, that mystery of God, the triunity of God, you know, three persons, what, one what, three who's. And Jesus, back to Matthew 4, let's get this last part in here with Satan. Jesus said unto him, it is written, now, yep, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So that should remind you of, as we look at Jesus, and we look at, you know, Satan, that serpent of old, and of his tactics and how he comes to the woman, as it says in chapter 3, to trick her, right? As she is tricked into eating of the fruit, and we know that Adam willingly disobeyed God, right? So sin entered in through Adam. And 1 John 2, right? 15 through 17, as we look at his tactics for in Matthew 4, as you look at the tactics of yourself and what Satan tries to do to tempt us into sin, as we're looking at sin and the origin of sin, the genesis of sin. John tells the church, tells all of us that are reading his letter. He says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you see Satan tempting Jesus with the lust of the flesh. Make these stones into bread as he's hungry, right? And then the lust of the eyes. Look at all this that I will give you, right? And the pride of life. You know, bow down and worship, right? He says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. And so, and the woman said to the serpent, right? Back to Genesis 3. Did I get there though? Yeah, well, let's just go back and read this again. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now you think back, I told you guys last week, highlight that verse of what God said to Adam. She adds, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And we see that she added to God's word, right? That God didn't say, you shall not touch it. Right, so where is her grasp of the scriptures, right? God's word, and lest you die. And then I notice that Satan in verse 4, you know, as he says, you will not surely die. As God said, you will surely die. And if you study that out, it's surely die. You know, looking at that, those two words are the same in the Hebrew. I think it's like M-U-T, M-U-T. So it's that emphasis, dying, you will surely die, right? That, and then Satan, you know, the serpent comes in, and after she says that, you lest you die, he comes quoting what God said and lying to her, the father of lies. And he tells her, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Right, so, you know, the father of lies, lying to her, and, you know, her, you know, where's Adam in this? And we know he's nearby, and, you know, you think of Satan, and you think of, you know, when the head of the house is out at work, and, you know, when are all the cults going around and trying to give their scripted sales pitch to join their group? You know, they come during the day when the fathers are and the husbands are gone, and they're coming to the wives when they're home alone, you know, with the kids, to ask them these questions, to plant these seeds of whatever trying to sell them on, right? And so the importance of a man that, you know, as we looked at this morning, just that the headship of a man over his wife out of God's love. And you think of all that that we studied this morning, if you listened, and as we come into here, God's design and God's order. You know, this is what we're looking at, and God's love for women, right? God taking the woman out of the man's side, you know, that helpmate, as we looked at, that title of needing help, God looking upon man, recognizing the need for help and that companionship, and you know, seeing amongst the animals, there was not a helpmate amongst that suitable for man, and making man a helper, and just how beautiful the marriage and the family relationship is when a man and a husband and a wife, right? That order. And we see, well, let's, before I get it too far ahead of myself, let's just keep reading in verse 6. So when the woman, right, seeing the lust of the eyes, she saw the tree and that the food on it was good and it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, right? You know, those tactics of, you know, that's how we fall into sin, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desire for something more, and how Satan comes and says, there's Satan coming to the woman saying that God is withholding something from you, right? He just doesn't want you to be like him, right? And that if you eat of this, you're going to be like him. And so that pride of life to have, appealing to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And then it says, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, just, if you just read it, read the word as it says, you know, it's, he must have been nearby, or the devil came and told her these lies and tempted her, right? Tricking her to, and questioning God's love and God's word, right? You know, maybe just the, and then they went and saw, hey, you know, we can take of this and eat. And however that went about, you know, knowing that she is tricked, and he willingly, you know, he took of it and ate. Then, verse 7, the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And, you know, here, religion, the birth of religion and working and the works to make themselves presentable before God. And they the shame that enters in, right? They knew that they were naked, you know, the shame of what they had just done and the works following, trying to, you know, cover themselves, right? To do something to cover their shame and sin, right? This is what, you know, religion does, where we're, you know, working our way to cover, this is what we do when we sin, right? You think about when you're sinning, what do you immediately do? You do just like Adam and Eve. You try to hide. Right, you try to cover yourself, or you're looking at something on your phone you know you shouldn't be looking at. You look over your shoulder, and you know you don't want anybody to see it. Right, you're trying to hide because you're looking at something you shouldn't look at, and you're convicted, and you know, is there a kid behind me or whatever? Right, that immediate sin you want to hide, and verse 8, and they heard, so straight from there, and they heard the voice. I like how the King James says it. A New King James says they heard the sound of the Lord, but they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, I don't know, what are they thinking of themselves? They know, because she said it, that, you know, you will surely die. Are they afraid that God's going to come and kill them, right? Or, you know, you think of them hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And so we can immediately see, as we walk through this, we're going to see God's grace and his mercy right off the bat after they've sinned, after he'd promised them that they would surely die, right? Dying, you will surely die. That, you know, we're going to see his grace, right? The origin of, you know, just God, who's gracious and loving and merciful from the beginning, and how, you know, we talked about it this morning that, you know, you think about, just if you can wrap your mind around it, before the foundations of the world, right? That God's plan was that Jesus Christ would go to the cross and redeem mankind to himself. That's kind of hard to grasp. You know, then you think, well, why would God, you know, as a kid, you grow up, why would God even do all this? And, you know, it's to glorify God. And there, you know, we are going to rejoice and worship and glorify God for eternity for this wonderful plan he has. And it's a beautiful thing. And the grace of God and the mercy of God. And the Lord God called unto Adam, right? Calls Adam and said unto him, where are you? Right? Where art thou? You know, God knows where he's at. He knows, this isn't, you know, hide and go seek and trying to look for him and he can't find him, right? He says to Adam, where are you, Adam? Right? Maybe you know, in your life, you know, God's asked, you know, where are you at? You know, you're a Christian, you've been backsliding or whatever it is, and you sit down with the Lord and God asks you that question, where are you at? You know, where, you know, let's reconcile, let's make this right, you know, and let's bring that fellowship back. Let's get back in the light. Let's have that, you know, that repentance and that, you know, correction and fellowship and reconciliation that God does. And he said, Adam says, right, verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And God says to Adam, who told you thee that thou wast naked? You know, God giving him an opportunity, right? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And giving an opportunity to humble himself and admit he was wrong, right? As we can see ourselves in this, as you walk as a Christian in sin, right? Adam said, you know, putting the blame on God, the woman that you gave me, that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, right? Passing the buck, right? They, you know, each one, right? If there was, you know, listen to all the commentaries, they all say, you know, if there would have been a family dog, they would have passed the blame onto the dog, right? And the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life, right? That, you know, a snake, you know, that, I don't know about you, I hate snakes, right? That's just that natural reaction to a snake, right? That, I hate snakes. I don't know, there's some weird people out there that like snakes, right? And so, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Verse 15, right? This amazing verse. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Prophecy of what Jesus does on the cross. And the curse of the serpent, right? Of Satan, that curse that he receives, right? As we look at God's grace and mercy in this, right? And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Yeah. My wife has had 5 kids. I think that it's accurate, right? Sorrow and pain in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And studying that out and you know, you look at what God is, the sentencing God gives for the sin that entered in and the disobedience for breaking his law, right? That imputed how that Romans 5, 12, and 13, because of the law, that sin is imputed, right? That breaking of the command and the justice that is there when God, you know, and then the grace and mercy that we are going to see that's behind this, and what he says unto the woman, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. I read that and I go, you know, that doesn't sound all that bad, right? And he shall rule over thee. And, you know, so kind of listen to some guys I listen to and studying the words and thy desire. There's only one other place, and that's in the next chapter we will see, and how Cain and Abel, right? And how it said the desire is at, where is that verse? I don't. And well, talking about how sin lies at, yeah, verse 7 that we will have for next week in verse 7 in chapter 4, that how its desire is for you. Talking about sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. And it's kind of talking about that, that sin is looking to overtake you. And if you study this out and we look at the world and all the problems that are in the world, right? That thy desire shall be to thy husband. And that desire is speaking of that to rule over the husband, right? That overtaking of the husband, and he shall rule over thee. So just kind of hand in hand on that if you look at, you know, marriage and family and husband and wife relations, that's where all this, the origin of the problems of man and woman. Women, you know, are the desire over the man. And you know, look in the church, and we had it all day today that the women submitting unto the husband, and that's not natural for the woman, because you look back here that God passing that on to woman, so it's not natural for a man or a woman to submit unto her husband. And then also a husband, how we talked, is not natural for a man to love his wife. And so us born again, be that regeneration, that supernatural power that he gives us, that help of the Holy Spirit, only by the Holy Spirit can we, and the church being the weaker vessel, right? Christ being the head of the church, and the church being that weaker vessel, as God gives the order of that picture of, you know, that marriage and family, the husband and the wife and the family, right? The origin of the family, male and female, and the origin of where all that came from, right? And marriage and family and the fruitful and multiplication of what happens when a man and a woman come together and the fruit that comes from it. And so we look at the church, and then we look at the problems of the church that is happening all over the place. And might as well, you know, you're here, I might as well offend you now, you know, better sooner than later. But we look at, you know, there's some Calvary guys now. One that took over for Chuck when he passed, and just even this week. So as I see this, he stepped down from Costa Mesa, and now he's this week, you know, the ordination of women pastors of a church and leading of a church. And, you know, it's very prevalent. So if we look at God and his order and how he, sets all this in order and how it's not natural for a woman to submit unto her husband. And you know, we said that, and we can see from the beginning here because of the sin. And we just, you know, I was looking at this morning too, and the results of sin, you know, and we have a lot of mental health and, you know, we have all these counselors, we have all of this all over the place. And I was just reading through some of these things, these disorders and the result of sin. We have all the disorders. I was just kind of looking at some of the categories of mental disorders and anxiety disorders and trauma and PTSD. There's, you know, there are those physical, neuro problems that come from, you know, war and injury and all that kind of stuff. But we, you know, the world is labeling the disorders for every little thing, you know, overeating, bulimia, amnesia, you know, dissociative disorders and somatic symptoms and obsessive compulsive disorders. And I was just kind of depressive disorders, persistent depressive disorders, disruptive mood dysregulation disorders. It's just all these big words, schizophrenia and, you know, sleep and wake disorders and elimination disorders and neurocognitive disorders, delirium, and you know, impulse control and conduct disorders, and all the disorders of the church, all traced back to this chapter, right? The seed of everything from the Bible that we're going to walk through from here on out. We're going to see, you know, God's grace and mercy. And I'm kind of dwelling on this too. If you talk to those on the outside, the Old Testament, what is commonly said of the Old Testament? That God's this vengeful, angry, killing God, this judgmental God that just, you know, and if you just look from the beginning, you know, God is gracious and merciful, you know, from the very beginning. And you just see man and sin entering in, and how we all inherit, are born sinners, right? We're all trying to, the world is labeling sin with all these fancy words because they have no remedy or anything. And we know as we come to the Bible, there's only one answer, and that's Jesus and the cross, right? The cross of what happened at Calvary, the shed blood of God coming, you know, in grace and mercy to die on the cross for our sin, right? It's sin, everything, right? Coming from this, from chapter 3. And we can't say it enough. And so, thought that was interesting. Verse 16, just that one verse, you know, thy desire shall be to thy husband, or her desire that would overtake the husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, and you notice that Adam, right? Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You know, you look at that, just that verse there, the grace and mercy. Adam, mankind, not receiving the curse, right? The ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And, you know, men, we can take this and go, see, I'm not going to listen to your voice, you know, because Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife, so I'm not going to listen to you. And then that's just not applicable, because, you know, studying this out too, we see, you know, the value of a woman, how much God loves women. They're his idea, right? They're, you know, as you know, whose wife will she be in heaven as they come and question Jesus, right? You know, after seven husbands, you know, and how, you know, heaven, that there will be no marriage, you know, other than Christ and the church, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and us with Jesus, that, you know, we want to rule over our wives. And if we look at a great example of a very, and we look at him, Adam, what does he do? He hearkens unto the voice of sin, right? Disobeying God. And we can look at 1 Samuel 25, David and Abigail, looking at Abigail and how she comes to, as if you remember, Nabal, however you pronounce his name, and how they were camped out, and they had asked for the food and all that. And Nabal was like, why would I do that? Why would I help you guys out? And David being stirred in anger, wanting to go in and destroy all them, and in anger and murder, and how that could all read so much differently had Abigail not gone to David and said, she fell at his feet. You know, Abigail going and meeting David as they're coming in to just wreak havoc on Nabal and all his servants. She says, please not on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant talking to David. Please not, let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, her husband, right? For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. And, you know, David eventually he takes her advice and doesn't go in and murder all them, and the bloodshed that would have occurred from that. And that the voice of Abigail to cause David not to sin. And so, you know, just the role of a, you just think of the courage that took her to go to David and to warn him of just how causing him to sin, right? Don't commit this sin, she tells him. Read that, you know, 1 Samuel 25, a very cool story. And verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Right? We're all just, you know, we're dirt bags, right? And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God, right, Jehovah Elohim, make coats of skins and clothe them. You know, you imagine there's only the bloodshed that had to come from the skins, the hides, to be, for God to have clothed them. You look at that, God clothes Adam and Eve, and, you know, even you're just considering that, how, you know, the grace of God and the mercy of God in this, how did he even ask for that? And God initiating, you know, we look at, as God is walking in the garden and they hear the voice of the Lord, and how, you know, God initiating man, how God initiates us as we're lost in sin and trespasses. You know, God is good is the point I'm trying to make, and loving and gracious and merciful, right? His mercies endure forever. And God, you know, how, you know, using your imagination, what did that look like? Adam and Eve having to witness the slaughter of those animals, you know, the bloodshed that, you know, the picture that God gives from the beginning of him sending his only begotten son to die for mankind, right? The prophecy that's in all this, and Genesis chapter 3, you know, God's grace. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which churned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And God's mercy, you know, never, you know, studying this out and just how merciful, you always kind of wonder, like, why wouldn't, you know, why keep them from the tree of life, right? Sin enters in, and you imagine, you know, what sin causes, right? It causes disease, right? It causes blindness, and it causes, you know, imagine having, you know, going through life and losing a leg, you know, and having access to the tree of life and living like that for all time, right? So you think of death, right? You know, surely you will die, and that the mercy, you know, that picture of God's mercy to keep them from having access to the tree of life. Otherwise, they could eat from that and live forever with these conditions. And so, you know, I remember my grandpa last year, you know, and just the pain and suffering of old age, you know, and you might have somebody close to you in your life, and you see people suffer, right? And you see, you know, what cancer does, right? You know, cancer and all these diseases and the suffering and pain from that, and just how merciful death is, how God would allow death, right? That mercy to stop that pain and suffering. And so I remember praying for my grandpa, just that, you know, my mom praying for my grandpa, and just that, you know, just seeing him in that state, and, you know, just have, you know, that mercy, you know, let him go, be with the Lord, because those that are saved, you know, have that hope. And, you know, and then you have the flip side, and thinking that for those that are suffering, you know, that, you know, you know, hold on, you know, you're praying that they hold on longer and that they would call out to the Lord and be saved, as we pray for that salvation, that gospel, that they could receive salvation. And one in particular, and, you know, a praise report, I believe a guy that I've been praying for, I believe he is, you know, has gotten saved recently, as he said, he's seen the Lord in visions recently, and I haven't talked to him. It's his birthday on Saturday, so I'm going to call him and talk to him, and, you know, but instantly he said he took it back. He gave his heart to the Lord, and then he took it back because he saw that in him that he was not worthy of it, and that he was too mean to receive that salvation. I believe that was conviction of sin, the Holy Spirit entering in and that being convicted of sin. So I'm like, I'm praising the Lord that, you know, one that I've been praying for recently has received salvation. So that's exciting. So I pray that it's true. And so the mercy of God, just seeing that, studying that out, just that picture of mercy that God would grant, you know, that knowing that surely we will die, you know, and the mercy of God. And so, and that hope, as we talked about last week, right? That chapter 2, just the beauty of what God has prepared for us as he goes to prepare a place for us. And, you know, thinking of the seed of the woman and, you know, prophecy, as we talk about prophecy in these and what God has done on the cross. I think we have time for Revelation 12, right? I think that's a good way to go into communion and, you know, the seed of the woman, you know, the woman, as we study out, if, you know, the best way to understand Revelation, right, is to understand the first 65 books, right? The Old Testament, right? Getting our grasp on the beginning, you know, right? The, where all this is and how that fight, you know, we've talked it through the Mark study too, that the fight over Israel, right? And how, you know, the redemption plan that God has, Revelation, if you look from 4 through 19, the redemption plan that God has for Israel and God's children, and the fight that the enemy, the enmity between the woman and Satan, how, you know, if we look in chapter 12, that woman being Israel and Mary, right? That woman is Israel, and how Jesus was birthed as, you know, God came down, this was placed in the Virgin Mary and was born. And that perfect, you know, if you look at the genealogies of Luke and Matthew's genealogy, you know, Joseph and Mary, you know, from that bloodline of David and then the genealogy of John, right, where Jesus came from, that genealogy of in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh, right? Genealogy being the history of all this as we study this out. So let's read Revelation 12, 1 through 18. I believe we'll just, let's read this whole thing. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman, right, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, the angels, right? We talked in Genesis 1, that it, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 20 out. 28, and how he was cast out of heaven, right? The darkness, the red dragon, the serpent of old, having drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Right, how Herod tried to destroy all the firstborn, and Satan is trying to destroy the God's plan for salvation for mankind. And she brought forth a man-child, right? Israel, Mary, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. As we see Jesus being the head, as we look, you know, as verse 15 from, if you think of as Satan bruises Jesus' heel, right, and Jesus the head being in heaven, and how he crushed the head of the serpent, right? Jesus is in heaven on the throne, right? The head of the church, and bruising the heel of his heel, right? As he is wounded for our transgressions, and how, you know, the nails in the feet. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out unto him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Now you can take that. That's Israel, which brought forth the man-child. And to what the women were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. We're talking, you know, that's a lot of prophecy in there, Revelation study, and the 7-year tribulation, and where she is nourished for a time, and at times and a half a time, that 3.5 years from the face of the serpent, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And, there was a lot there. reading through that, but I thought I had something else here for us. 2 Corinthians 11, I think 1-4. Paul writing, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And just that importance of the simplicity of Christ as we come to communion tonight, as we walk in this world, not of the world as it was prayed earlier, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the grace of God, the mercy of God, chapter 3, sin, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, that we would just come to communion right now before we take communion and remember him, what he did on the cross, that you just glorify God, because as we see just that there's no works of righteousness which we can do to receive this salvation. And there's nothing, talking to Jeremy before this too, that, as he's talking about John 6:29, that the works of God is to believe on him whom he sent. Adam and Eve, him clothing Adam and Eve, the not having to work, and them hearing the voice of the Lord, just that, his sheep hear his voice and he knows them, right? And they knew God. You're kind of thinking that through. It's like, maybe as a kid, I was wondering, are Adam and Eve in heaven? And they knew his voice, right? They heard his voice in the garden. His sheep hear his voice and they know him and they follow him. And so just the grace that God clothes them, right? And the wedding garments that we have that, as he says in Matthew, right? He says to the one that doesn't have the wedding garment on, right? You cast him forth from here, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. So let's pray, and then we'll pray again and have communion together. So Father, thank you for tonight and this chapter, Lord, and just that we can come to that and we can know for certain where sin came from and just how loving and gracious and merciful you are in all of that, and that you make a way for us, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you came to the cross, right, the need for the cross in our life, Lord, and the love of the cross, Lord, and the blood shed from the cross, that water and blood poured out of your side, Lord. And so thank you for your study and your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.